More than a century ago, American settlers followed the call to go west. Well, Chinese settlers have done it too. They've gone west into sparsely populated areas such as Tibet and Xinjiang. By some counts, Han Chinese settlers now outnumber the natives in both places. The Chinese government sees this as an effort to tame China's west and to integrate it into China's booming economy. The World's Mary Kay Magstead continues our series on China's urbanization in the western Chinese city of Xining.
In a square in front of a history and culture museum, older women in matching pink jackets are practicing a Chinese fan dance as their coach sings a patriotic song. The women swoop and swirl, their fans unfurled, as their coach urges them to put a little more feeling into it. A big screen nearby flashes promos for the Beijing Olympics. This scene could easily be in Beijing or in any eastern Chinese city, but it's in Xining, in the far western province of Qinghai, a former part of the Tibetan Kingdom. Just half a century ago, most of the people in Qinghai were Tibetan. The Dalai Lama was born just a few dozen miles from here. But China has laid claim over this area since the early 18th century, and it made it a province in the early 20th. When the Communist Party came to power, it started its first Go West campaign, urging patriotic young Chinese to go settle the wild wastelands in the West. A couple of 20-year-olds who answered the call were the parents of taxi driver Wang Xiaomei.
They were young people, they were hot-blooded, and they came here to support the Western development. There were a lot of people coming here to support and find their opportunities here.
Many of those young people helped to build up cities in Western China, cities like Xining, which is now mostly Han Chinese. A second Go West campaign started 8 years ago. It's caused Xining to boom. And these days, when Wang drives her taxi around, displaying both the Chinese and the Olympic flags on her dashboard, she likes what she sees.
Especially during these past 10 years, there are a lot of changes. Living here, I don't feel it is a far west city. I feel that whatever there are in the east, there are everything here too.
But ask Tibetans here how all this development has affected them, and you may well get a different answer. I did, from a young Tibetan man visiting a sick relative at the Tibetan Medicine Hospital. He says life is hard and his family is poor, and that's true of most Tibetans he knows. A Tibetan monk visiting the same hospital says in the 20 years he's been a monk, it's always been hard to practice his religion freely. But he says that's been especially true in the months since Tibetan protests broke out across the region in March. He says the monks in his monastery didn't protest, but Communist Party officials still came to lecture them about being loyal to the party. The monk seems resigned to the fact that Han Chinese are now in control here, but that doesn't mean he has to like it. He says, look at this city. It's really a Han Chinese place now. Even those here who were Tibetan by birth aren't really Tibetan anymore because they don't speak the Tibetan language anymore. They've grown used to the Han way of life. I wanted to talk more about this with a Tibetan school teacher I met near the hospital. She proudly told me she'd just finished writing a book on Tibetan culture, that she'd just taken it to the printers. But when I asked to interview her, she looked uneasily around and said, "I don't dare. Tibetans here are watched every hour, every second." The taxi driver, Wang Xiaomei, says she knows nothing of this. She was shocked by the recent Tibetan protests in the region because she says she never felt any tension with Tibetans here.
I've known some people who are Tibetans, and I went to school with some Tibetan classmates. We were all right, and I think they were nothing different like us Han people. We're all in good terms.
They've never told you that they have mixed feelings about so many Han people coming here?
No, I've never heard about their mixed feelings.
Then again, Wang admits, she's not really close friends with any Tibetans. And it doesn't occur to her that the prosperity Han settlers like her family have helped build up here could be greeted by the natives with anything other than gratitude. But stroll around the shops and markets here in Xining, and you'll find relatively few Tibetans running their own shops or businesses. Even the stalls selling Tibetan crafts in this open market are run by Han Chinese and Hui Muslims. The few Tibetans who are here are either buying a few supplies to bring back out to the countryside or begging, like this man. Tibet has its own problem of natives feeling increasingly shut out of the local economy, especially since the high-altitude train started going there a couple of years ago, bringing ever more Han Chinese. And then there's Xinjiang, a far western region whose original Turkic Muslim population, Uyghurs, are now outnumbered by Han Chinese settlers. Some were paid generous incentive fees to move there. Uyghur activist Rabia Kadir says these settlers have taken over Uyghur homes and land and businesses. They've also made Xinjiang's capital, Urumqi, much bigger and more modern, but she says it's become far more Han than even a couple of decades ago.
At that time, Uyghurs were, of course, poorer, but still better than today. The Chinese at least recognized that it was land of the Uyghurs, and they couldn't openly, you know, harass or persecute our people. There were not a lot of Chinese people. But now it's like some 80% people in the city are Chinese.
Kadir did well for herself by doing business with the Chinese in the 1980s and 90s. But then, she says, China's policies toward the Uyghurs got more aggressive, and she started speaking out. She complained that Uyghur language and culture were being suppressed, and Uyghurs were being shut out of good jobs. She said those who protested were too often labeled terrorists, arrested, and sometimes executed. For her efforts, she got 6 years in prison. She's now in exile in Washington, D.C., still trying to draw attention to the high price Uyghurs are paying for China's push west.
So the Chinese government's intent is to completely assimilate both the Uyghurs and Tibetans as time goes by, because the government believes the time is on their side. So China's Western Development Project has only brought us and Tibetans disaster, because all the power, privilege, rights, everything is specifically reserved for the enjoyment of Chinese settlers.
Back in Xining, a middle-aged Han Chinese insurance salesman named Hao Haiting asks, is that so bad?
You America, you have the Go West campaign too. You develop the West, and also a lot of Europeans go to the West part of America. So it is a trend that the more advanced part will take over the more backward part.
That's not the official line on China's Go West campaign. China's leaders point to the campaign's considerable achievements, the double-digit economic growth, and the endless new opportunities in poor inland provinces that had until recently missed out on most of China's economic boom. And these achievements are not just in areas with non-Han native populations. Sichuan province, for instance, used to be one of China's poorest and most populous, one of its main suppliers of migrants to coastal factories. But now, factories are moving inland, and Sichuan cities are booming. So is Chongqing, which was part of Sichuan until a decade ago. Today's Chongqing has been compared to Chicago in the 19th century, an inland port, a manufacturing center, a gateway to the West. Bigger ships are expected to come here once the Three Gorges Dam makes the Yangtze River more navigable. In anticipation, the central government has poured billions of dollars into building Chongqing as the capital of the Go West campaign. The city is now growing at a frenetic pace, and it impresses many who visit here. But at a business lunch, Chongqing native and motorcycle parts marketing manager Yang Tao says if Chongqing wants to be a regional leader, the local government has to do better at dropping its old socialist mindset and cutting red tape.
We don't think this government in Chongqing already good enough to be create this good environment for everybody come here. They want to do, but they don't have enough skill to do it well. So it will be taking time.
But the process is well underway, and Yang is optimistic. Come back in 5 or 6 years, he says, and the changes will be huge. Already, the changes have been huge in many cities throughout western China.
Whether you think that's a good thing depends on whether you're one of the many reaping the economic rewards or one of those feeling shut out and marginalized in your own land. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Chongqing, China.
On Monday, we conclude our series on China's urbanization. Beijing residents flee to the suburbs as China's cities become increasingly unlivable. That's coming up Monday on The World.